This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and I'm Jeff Sandhu. I'm here with Kash Minder Singh from Mobile World Magazine. Kash, welcome back to the show. It's been a very, very long time.
Yeah, it's so long that I didn't realize your office has grown twice in size. Double
yes.
Now, yeah.
And we brought you back here for a reason because we are going to go through the roundup of 2013. So we start off first with gadgets and technologies that you guys have liked in 2013.
Okay, as overall, we felt that it's good that you start with gadgets we like, because when it comes to phones and all that, we really felt that this year was more like a continuation of last year. You know, there weren't any standout kind of devices. So the technology that we like were really the kind that I think are going to become very useful going forward, you know, the kind of technologies that will become part and parcel of our lives. So among the technologies that we like, for example, this thing called Lockitron. I don't know whether you heard of Lockitron.
Oh, no.
It's an app that's designed so you don't need a key for your house anymore.
Ah.
All right. So with that app, you can unlock and lock your house. So imagine someone coming to your house, you don't have to pass him the key. Mm. He just goes there and he calls you and he says, "I'm outside your house." Fine. I'll unlock the door for you. Go in and that's it. You know, so Lockitron, it runs on phones and all that. Beautiful device, controls. And this is something that, you know, we've been talking about, the Internet of Things.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the kind of thing that we really like.
Right.
Of course, the Chromecast, the Google Chromecast.
And this is really cheap as well.
Yeah, right? So cheap. And it's something that, you know, useful, you know. So we like that kind of technologies. Another one, if you want to look at another technology, like, again, the application of mobile technology into actual devices, TrackDot. Now, you and I travel a lot. Mm-hmm. And getting
you more probably.
I wouldn't know, but you know, getting your luggage lost is a major problem.
Oh
right?
Yes.
So they've got this device called the TrackDot. You put it onto inside your bag. All right. It's smart. It knows when it's moving, when it's flying at various speeds, it switches itself off, so it doesn't interfere with the plane's wireless systems and all that. But when it lands, it switches itself back on, and it contacts you, sends you a text message or an email saying, "Okay, I've landed and I'm also on the way to you." Or,
and this is the location.
Or I'm now in Tokyo and you are in Hong Kong, you know. So those kind of things.
Wow, okay. I didn't know about that, but that's really, really good.
Yeah. So you see, the kind of technologies that are coming are the kinds that are now really useful applications that you use every day. I think you get the idea. You know, we've got Fitbit Flex, you know, those kind of devices. So we are really watching now to see how mobile technologies are used in everyday kind of device.
What about like Google Glass and all? Is it because it's not commercially available yet, or you're not a fan of it?
I'm certainly not a fan. In fact, I'm going to tell you afterwards that I don't quite like it and why.
Okay, yeah. So let's get into best of the best. So let's start off with best smartphone of 2013. Before we announce the winner, what are the nominees
So what we looked at was, actually we saw that most of the phones this year were about the same as last year. They were just slightly thinner, slightly faster, and
the usual
shinier and all that. So we haven't really seen a lot of innovation. But the usual nominees were there, you know, the usual suspect, HTC One, the Lumia, Nokia Lumia 1020, which we really like because of its camera, beautiful camera. The iPhone 5S, the Google Nexus 5, and the Sony Xperia Z1, and the Galaxy S4. But having looked at all, the one that's announced the last, the Nexus 5, was really our winner.
That stole the show.
That stole the show, because at least that we could see some innovation, because it runs the latest, the KitKat, right? And you can see where the future is going. Although as a actual device itself, it may lose out a little bit here and there to the other models. But when you look at the whole picture, its usability and all that, I would say the Nexus 5.
I actually bought a Nexus 5.
Yes,
and I'm loving it. And it's like you said, you know, when you're on paper, you compare it with the S4, the iPhone 5 and all, it is not a challenge. But the price point of it, I got it for about 1,299 ringgit without any contract or so. So I'm very sure when it launches in Malaysia, it will be affordable. I'm not going to pay 3,000 ringgit for an iPhone 5S, because that's an absurd amount of money for a phone.
Exactly.
And you know, within 2 years, I'm going to change the phone.
Exactly. And we really looked at price too. You know, it's got a very sweet price. It's got everything, you know. So if the phones haven't changed much, then you should look at the phone that offers the best value you know, the best software and all that. And we felt the Nexus 5 was really the one.
Mm. What about like standout nominees, like probably close, coming close in second or so? Who would
The iPhone 5S was pretty good, you know. Although we felt that really they should be looking at how to make the phone a bit bigger and stuff like that, right? But as it is, the iPhone 5S, especially with the new software, it's a pretty good device, and I'm sure many people will like it.
Mm.
And strangely, we also, as I said, you know, although most people won't look at Windows phones and all that, the Lumia 1020 is a very good phone.
Mm. The camera in that is actually really good. Right. Mm.
But I must say that every brand this time, including not mentioned here, like for example LG, out in the market, maybe not in Malaysia, all of them have got very good phones now.
Mm.
And I saw the rise back of LG and especially Sony. They've all come back into the picture and they've got very good phones.
Mm. I'm actually waiting for the LG G2.
That's the one I meant. Mm. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Because that's a really interesting phone. I'm here with Kashminder Singh from Mobile World Magazine. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about best tablets and best phablets and also the duds of 2013. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. I'm Jeff Sandhu and this is Tech Talk. You're listening to the best of the best. I'm with Kashminder Singh from Mobile World Magazine. And early on, we announced the winner for best smartphone, according to Mobile World, is the Google Nexus 5. And I'm actually using the phone, so there's no cronyism going on here. I didn't tell him to say that's the best phone because I'm using it. I actually like the phone as well. Let's move on to best tablets. You know, previously when you mentioned tablets, there was only one winner, which is the iPads and all. Is it the same story this year as well?
Yes. But it's no longer just a shoe-in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of divided our categories into two. We had the best small tablets and the best, you know, the regular size 10 inches and all that kind of tablet.
Okay.
And as far as the small tablets are concerned, you've got the iPad mini,
mm-hmm.
right? But then you also got the Google Nexus 7, which is a very, very nice tablet, right? And then you've got the Galaxy Tab 3, another nice 7-inch tablet. You know, you've got LG G-Pad, all right? That's another nice tablet. So if you are not a fan of Apple, you still get beautiful tablets this day. But when you look at everything, all right, we still came to the conclusion that the iPad Mini.
It's the software still.
It's the software.
It's Android's not really ready for tablet at the moment.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
What about full size tablets?
Full size again. Full size is a area we're looking at, and we're not sure. Mm. Over a period of time, but of course, the winners this year proved us wrong. We thought that when notebooks become slimmer and thinner and all that, and they become lighter, you may want to keep a notebook, right? Mm. You may want a very slim notebook, and you may not want to go for a larger tablet. But the manufacturers are still making them, and we've got, like, for example, the Sony Xperia Tablet Z. We've got the Asus Transformer, the Infinity, the Pad. We've got the Galaxy Note 10, of course, the usual suspect again, and then, of course, the Google Nexus 10. But, again, we thought that this category may sort of, you know, slow down, but then again came the iPad Air, right?
Mm.
And it sort of, you know, redefined the category again and came up with a very beautiful, slim device. And I think those who don't want to do a lot of work on it, those who are really going to be consumers more than producers, they're going to go for the iPad Air.
You know, when I saw when I held the iPad Air, I was really amazed of, like, the device is big, but it feels, it's still, you can use it with one hand, and it's so light.
Yes, exactly.
It is really light. It baffles your mind in how a device like this could be so light.
Yes, I stopped using the larger tablets once I got a slimmer notebook, because for me, it's so heavy, you know.
Mm.
If it's that heavy, I might as well switch on my notebook and do a little bit more with it, right? So again, I think the Apple still owns the tablet categories. Mm.
But, you know, internally, probably they might have some issues because the iPad Air and the iPad Mini Retina display, they're not much difference. The only difference is just the size.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, previously there was, you know, the iPad Mini was like a version below the iPad, the original iPad. Mm. Do you think this will be a problem in Apple trying to sell, you know, in trying to make you decide which to buy? Because they're both practically the same, it's just
same
different
thing.
Size.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the 7-inch tablets.
Mm.
I think those tablets are going to be a bit more popular than the larger ones, because at 7-inch, you can carry them around a lot more easily,
yeah.
right? And they're slimmer, obviously they'll be lighter, and a lot more useful, you know, when you sit watching TV, a 7-inch is something that you can sort of still watch the action and quickly do something with it. But a 10-inch, again, as I said, it's touching that areas of notebooks.
Yeah.
And so, personally, I think 7-inch tablets are the way that's is going to go.
All right, so let's move on to a new category, phablets, best phablets. Now, this is a smartphone combining with tablet functions. So IDC and all sorts of research analysis, they're calling this trend the phablet trend.
Yes.
And we see big players, Samsung, are getting really heavy in this. So I'm sure there aren't any surprises here when it comes to the winner who has the best phablet device.
Yeah, for us, you know, we looked at the Xperia Z, the HTC One Max. You know,
The Z Ultra, right?
Yeah, the Z Ultra, sorry, yeah. Then the Note 3, you know, of course. Then the Nokia Lumia 1520 and all that. Right? Mm. So we looked at all the phablets. But the company that created this category, which is Samsung, right? They still own this category. You know, their Note 3 has been quite a refinement of their earlier Note 2. It's slim and it's nice, and it's really useful to use. Now, and I think this category is ultimately going to become even more important than smartphones, right? Because you know, strangely, we get very little calls these days.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody WhatsApp each other or send messages and all that. We hardly talk to each other. So this thing about holding a large device to your ear is not going to become so important when you get very few phone calls.
Exactly.
Right? So I might as well go for the largest screen size I can, and I still have the capability to make a call when I want to. And looking at everything, the Note 3, I think, is the most complete package right now. I like the stylus and its ability to use. What do you think?
Well, I've tried the Note 3 for a while. And although, you know, for me, the Note 3 caters to a market that didn't really exist until Samsung got into it.
Right.
Because even now, did you see, you know, iPhone users are complaining that their screen's too small. And they hope that the iPhone 6 has a bigger screen. All this craving for a bigger screen is because of phablet devices, and like the Samsung Note 3, and you've got like, and then you've got a stylus with it, and you can do multitasking. You can do a lot with the Samsung Note 3.
Right.
I mean, half of the time it may or may not work, and or you may or may not use it.
Yeah.
But the opportunity and the options are there, and it's only a matter of time before, like you said, you know, where we see more these devices becoming a lot more important in the industry.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Note 3.
Yeah, so they've all become very close. In fact, when I started using a Note, I stopped using a tablet, you know, because for me it's a little bit smaller.
It's all in one.
It's all in one, right? So I think that this is the most important category that everyone should pay attention to, and that's why I worry that some brands are being left behind because they were late to the market again for these kind of devices.
You know, it feels very, very even out and very fair because, you know, best tablets went to Apple, best phablets went to Samsung, best smartphone went to Google.
Right.
You know, it's a very even out awards this time. It's not just dominated by Samsung or dominated by Apple.
Right, right.
Very competitive.
Very, very competitive. I'm quite excited next year because I sort of always feel that it's hard to have massive innovation every year. So you had good jump of innovation into 2012. So 2013 was just really a matter of consolidation and all that. So next year we should see a lot more better devices and all that.
But not everything was rosy in 2013.
There were
some hiccups along the way. So let's talk about the duds of 2013. What's the first pick that you have?
My first pick is something very, very simple. It's smartwatches. Alright, except for maybe the Pebble, you know.
I'm using the Pebble, and I like the Pebble.
Yes, except for the Pebble, which actually the battery lasts for some time, you know. Right? So it's not so bad, and it's quite useful. But then, you know, you have companies like Samsung coming up with a watch that is only linked to their own device, and it needs to be charged every day, right? So when you look at it, and you ask yourself, why do I want to worry about making sure another device is charged? So I think smartwatches, Not yet. We haven't come up with a killer one. The closest, of course, is Pebble. But otherwise, really, you know,
Galaxy Gear is just a big no.
The Galaxy Gear is just,
and it's more expensive than the Pebble as well.
Exactly. Right. So innovation is coming from the smaller companies, right? Mm. When the big companies, they try to come up with their device and then you try to tie it up with your own model, I think it's not going
to
work.
Mm. Just before we move on to duds of smartphone duds,
yeah.
You know, smartwatches, I always feel the smartwatch is supposed to be a companion of your phones, yeah. whether it's an Android phone or an iPhone.
It's
not supposed to be a completely separate device. I feel the Galaxy Gear is just trying to do too many things and it's trying to be its own smartphone. Clever. And it's got the camera in it, got voice activation.
Yeah.
I don't need all that. I just need to know who messaged me and who called me. Mm. That's it. And
yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Pebble. Let's move on to duds, smartphone duds.
Okay, in terms of smartphones, I think the iPhone 5C, I don't quite like it. I don't see a reason why you should just repackage an old model and call it 5C and color it up a little bit and all that. You know?
The 5C stands for cheap, maybe.
but it's not really cheap.
Exactly.
It's not really cheap. Mm. So I think if Apple wants to get into the market of cheap devices, and they really have to look at that market, because you find that prices are dropping and really dropping. Right, so by next year you'll be able to get a very good smartphone for just a few hundred ringgit.
Mm.
So if you want to play in that category, then you make sure that your device is really built for that and it's cheap.
Mm.
And I'm not sure Apple is ready to play there. So if you're not ready to play there, then don't come up with it.
Because the iPhone 5C is exactly like you said, it's still about 1,600 or 1,700 ringgit, and that's really expensive. Because Motorola announced the Motorola G, and if you convert it from US dollars to ringgit, it's only about 800 or 900 ringgit without any contract.
Exactly,
and that's a low end smartphone, and it's so you can do so many things with that kind of smartphone. So Apple really needs to take a look at it. What about other duds?
I think one, for example, let's not just look at the phone itself. Mm. Although HTC did try to come up, I think the Facebook phone concept flopped.
Yes.
Right,
so completely forgot about it.
Yeah, everybody forgot about it. But there was lots of news that Facebook was going to come up with a phone, and HTC, you know, did launch the HTC First, which went on sale like weeks after it launched. They straight away slashed the price because it wasn't doing well. And I think this thing, if we all like Facebook, we all like the social network, but I don't think consumers are ready to have it front and center of your device, right? So it's like, it's right there and you may not like it. So I think Facebook phone is a flop. And in terms of brands.
Oh, yes.
Right, in terms of brands, I must say,
let's bring out the tissue boxes.
Yeah, right. I feel a lot of sadness for BlackBerry because they started off, they looked as if they started off on a good note. They launched their BlackBerry 10, they were saying good things about it. But sometimes corporate strategies and things sort of, you know, overtake them. Mm. And by the time you begin to hear things about them having to slash staff and this and that, and before you know it, the whole brand is right now almost a mess, right?
For
and
sale, not for sale.
Not for sale, you know, and we're going corporate side only, and then no, you know, so... So I hope they get their act together. I'm not writing them off completely. I think they still got a very good story to tell, and I hope to hear a lot more better about BlackBerry.
Mm.
Right.
Last but not least, the last dud of the day would be.
I think one quick one, Surface RT. Again, I never understood the concept of it, and you know, I'm not a keen thing. I think if you want to launch a Windows tablet, make sure you can run Windows apps properly. So I think that's not a one. And the other one, I think you and I may disagree. I'm not very sure the Google Glass is going to do very well, especially with these concerns of privacy now, right?
Exactly.
So I see you wearing a glass and I don't know, are you recording me? What are you doing, you know, with me when you're sitting in front of me? So I think they have to re-look at this concept of Google Glass.
I'm interested to see how the Google Glass actually hopefully it arrives next year.
Yeah.
Cash, thank you very much for being on the show.
Okay.
I've been speaking to Kashminder Singh from Mobile World Magazine, and we were doing a roundup of 2013. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.